How many of you have been to Mount Rushmore? Wow. Those of you who have been to Mount Rushmore, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up if you can tell me the name of the person who created Mount Rushmore. Most of the hands have gone down. I see maybe three or four. What's his name, Norm? Goodson Borglum. Very good. There are over 2 million people who visit Mount Rushmore every year. And my guess is the vast majority of them cannot tell us the name Goodson Borglum as being the creator of that monument. And if you've been there, you know how impressive and awesome Mount Rushmore is. I've seen pictures almost my entire life, but when my family and I were actually there a number of years ago, it truly is an impressive monument. But most people cannot tell you the name of the creator. And I would suggest to you that this is how most people treat God. God is our creator. That vast majority of people forget about him and focus only on the creation itself. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, I would never do that. But if you will look with me at our scripture passage this morning, we'll think about that as we examine Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 28. Look at that a little bit more carefully. And as is usually helpful to do anytime you study the Bible, it's important that we look at the context. Romans chapter 1, Paul's letter to the Romans, begins with Paul talking about his calling to preach the gospel. And then Paul deals with the issue of those people who do not have the opportunity to hear the gospel. What happens to these people? What kind of reaction do they have? How does God deal with them? Well, if you will look at verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived into things that have been made, so they are without excuse. What Paul says is, because God is creator, what God has created reveals God's nature to everyone in this world. When people look at creation, they see evidences of who God is and what God is like. And so Paul can say at the end of verse 20, they're without excuse. They have no excuse, no way of claiming. They're totally ignorant of God. And if you look at verses 22 and 23, how do they react to this? Claiming to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. What did many of these people do? Well, instead of acknowledging God, the creator, they focus instead on what God has created. Images that human beings make themselves, looking at creation itself, birds, animals, reptiles, and instead of worshiping the creator, they worship the creation, things that have been created. And then look at verse 24. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Again, instead of worshiping the creator, they worship creation. And God allowed them to experience the consequences of this choice. Claiming to be wise, claiming to know better, they actually become fools by worshiping creation instead of creator. That's why they are wise fools. And what's the consequence? What's the result of worshiping the creation instead of the creator? That's our scripture passage, verse 28 and on. Paul gives a list of what happens when we fail to worship God as our creator. And if you notice, starting in verse 29, Paul begins with some rather general things, all manner of wickedness, evil, and then he becomes more specific. Covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, and so on. The list goes on, but then he concludes the list in verse 31 by becoming more general again. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. If you look at that list, isn't it a pretty accurate description of what our world is like today? And Paul is saying this is the consequence of people failing to worship God, our Creator, and instead substituting other things to worship instead of God. Anytime you do this, this is the consequence. Focus on verse 32. Though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but approve those who practice them. Paul is really saying they know better. They know what's right, but they choose instead to do the opposite. And not only do they choose to ignore what God is saying, they encourage others to do the same thing. It's bad enough to do something bad. It's even worse when you encourage others to do it. Paul is saying this is what happens anytime you worship anyone or anything else instead of God. Now, what's the lesson for us? Well, big picture, the lesson is pretty obvious. We should be worshiping God instead of what has been created. And you might be thinking, well, that doesn't really apply to us. Aren't we here, all of us, to worship God? So why are we bothering to spend time looking at this passage? Well, do you really worship God? What does it mean to worship God? If you come to church once a week and spend a couple of hours sitting in a church, are you worshiping God? What does it really mean to worship God? Well, it means to give God the place that only He deserves in your life. It means making God the single most important thing or person in your life. And that's not just for a few hours one day a week. It is every day, all throughout each day. Always. God needs to be first in your life. If He isn't, something else is. And you're worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. And anytime you do that, Paul is saying, here's the consequence. And again, I can imagine you thinking, well, again, it doesn't apply to us. Because look around you. How many murderers are there? How many haters of God? How many inventors of evil? None of us here, right? And it would be easy to think that this list doesn't apply to us, except for one word right in the middle of the list. In my version, it says they are gossips. In the original Greek language, Paul uses one word. And this one word in the Greek literally means to whisper. The form that he uses means those who whisper. And it's interesting that the Greeks use the word for whisper to refer to gossip. And it's really appropriate. Because when people gossip, do they stand up in front of a crowd and make a big announcement? How does gossip usually happen? Say something quiet to somebody else, right? Have you heard the latest? Did you hear about what so-and-so did? Paul is saying, anytime you fail to worship God as He deserves, here's the consequence. And one of those consequences is people gossip. And Paul puts this right next to people who murder, people who invent evil, and those who hate God. And you might think, well, that's stretching it, isn't it? Isn't Paul going to an extreme by including gossip in this list of sins that result when we don't worship God? Well, I don't think so. I'm sure you're aware that people's lives have been seriously damaged because of gossip. Do you know that there are people who no longer attend church because they have been the subject of gossip? And it would be easy for those of us who are still here in church to think, well, they should have had thicker skins. They should have realized that it was nothing personal. They shouldn't have let it bother them. They should just forget it and move on and keep attending church. Well, it would be easy to say, unless you have been the subject of gossip yourself, then you know how damaging and hurtful it can be. Just this past week, I received an email from our Oregon Conference president asking us as pastors if we hear anything about one of the speakers that's lined up to make presentations at our upcoming camp meeting at Gladstone to please head off the rumors and the gossip. Because one of the speakers has been accused of things that has no basis in reality. And this is spreading around the conference, saying this person has no right to be a speaker at our camp meeting. People's careers have been destroyed simply because of gossip. Not a big deal? I don't think so. And you do realize that it's not just the people who spread the gossip. Somebody has to be there to listen, right? And you can say, well, I don't gossip, I don't say anything about other people. But what do you do when somebody comes up to you and says, did you hear? If you listen, you're giving that gossip person the opportunity to continue. And in our day and age, gossip has been taken to a whole new level. We are in an age of technology. Technology is a blessing because we can communicate instantly, literally all around the world. But it is also a curse because falsehood and misinformation can also be spread instantly all around the world. And I continue to be frustrated by those emails that I get almost every day that have been forwarded and forwarded and forwarded and forwarded. Most of the time containing misinformation and things that are not accurate. I'm sure some of you got that email saying the Roman Catholic Church has sued the Seventh-day Adventist Church because of the distribution of the Great Controversy book. Totally, completely false. But there are a lot of people all excited about that. The word has spread literally around the world, and it's not true. Gossip has taken a whole new meaning for all of us with computers and access to the internet. We really need to be careful not to listen to the gossip and not to be responsible for spreading it. So what's the solution? Well, remember what the cause is. Anytime we worship anything or anyone else besides God, this is the consequence. Really? Well, how am I worshiping something else if I'm gossiping? Well, I would suggest to you that what we're really doing is worshiping self. We're putting self first instead of God anytime we gossip, because it makes us look important. I know something you don't, and you need to hear this because it's so juicy. Or the latest conspiracy. Or did you hear what this church leader did? Or that political leader? It puts us in a whole different light, and it's all about self. The solution, again, is to remember that we need to be giving God his proper place in our lives. We could also just try to stop it, right? Stop gossiping. Stop forwarding those emails. But it's so hard to do. It's so much fun to be able to spread that latest bit of gossip. It's a bit like getting rid of nut grass. How many of you have heard of nut grass? A couple of you. I haven't seen any here in Oregon, but it's very, very common in Hawaii. And it is almost impossible to get rid of. This weed grows, and you think, well, if you have weeds, you just dig, get the weed out by its root, and it's gone, right? Well, you can't do that with nut grass. Because when you dig down to the root, there's a little ball that looks like a nut. And the problem is that little nut is connected to other nuts, other little balls of root, by roots that are hair thin. And if you pull on it, it breaks, and the other nuts are still in the ground. And they don't all come up at once. And so you may think you've got it, but there are all these other nuts that have been spread around the lawn, and they'll come up at different times. And again, it's almost impossible to get rid of. The best you can do is to spray Roundup on the leaves of the weed. But what you do in the process is you kill the grass that's around it too. And that's what it's like to try to stop gossiping. There's always more beneath the surface, and it keeps spreading and spreading and spreading. The only way to really get rid of nut grass, get rid of all your dirt, and start all over with a whole new lawn. And the only way to get rid of gossip is to start all over. Get a completely different heart. Surrender yourself completely to God. Let Him truly be God of your life. Keep Him first always. And He'll take care of the problem. Not just the gossip, but the deceit, the hatred, the disobedience to parents, and that whole ugly list that Paul gave. Get rid of it immediately, simply by putting God first in your life. When I was in college, I had a friend who told me about another friend of hers. And she made a comment about this other girl. She said, "I've known her for a long time. And in all the time that I've known her, I have never heard her say anything bad or negative about anyone else. Ever." And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be nice if people could say that about me? That anytime I talk about other people, it's only good. And you know, I've heard people defend gossip. What I'm saying is true, so it's not gossip. Have you heard that? If it's true, it's not gossip. Gossip is not only about the truth or falsehood. It's also the how, the manner in which it is shared. Like the Greek said, the whispering. And I guess the acid test is, would you be saying it if the person you're talking about is standing right next to you? Or the other way, if this is about you, would you want other people sharing it? We are here to proclaim the gospel. We are here to share good news, not to whisper gossip. God wants us to proclaim good news. Are you willing to commit yourself to Him so that He can use you to share good news instead of gossip?